Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman. I'm here with Nathan Ruggles today.
And it's great to be sitting in here for Brittany today. Brittany will be back, though. She's just awful busy today and with other things. And we do want to thank you for tuning in and thank a couple of the unions for their support, including IBEW Local 5, as well as the Teamsters.
And if you want to find out more about us or catch a podcast, if you missed an episode, you can go to theunionedge.com. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter if you want to drop us a line and tell us what you think. Joining us right now from the United Steelworkers, we have Maria Soma. Maria, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. So we have a lot to talk about today. We want to talk about the Georgia Tire workers. We also want to talk about some trade policy. So where would you like to start?
Well, I think I'd like to start by really kind of talking with the audience about what I actually saw during the Kumho Tire campaign and the violent anti-union campaign that existed there and still continues to this day.
So we understand that a really intense, like, psychological campaign against these workers that you were working with and that they were working to get organized down at the Kumho Tire plant down there in Macon, Georgia.
There was. Look, I've been a union organizer for 20 years, and while I see union busters and their tactics fairly regularly, particularly around industrial campaigns, what I saw at Kumho was probably the most intense that I've ever seen in my 20 years of organizing. And so I want to describe kind of Kumho Tire. Kumho Tire is a Korean tire company that is locating itself down into the south. It is probably in North America now the most highly technological facility that facility in the world right now. They invested $500 million, received millions of dollars in tax breaks and tax incentives for them to locate into Macon, Georgia.
Sorry, say that 5 million?
No, they received millions of dollars in tax breaks and incentives. $500 million is what they invested, what it cost to build that plant.
Gotcha.
So it's a brand spanking new facility that opened up about 2 years ago with the commitment into that community of why Georgia taxpayers should be inviting Kumho in. They committed that they would be providing high-paying, good, family-sustaining jobs. And so people, some of those workers gave up long-term jobs to get work employment there. Some people travel 2.5-3 hours every shift to go in there and to work because, quite honestly, it's a good job, and it's a good job certainly for that area of the country. So they made this commitment. They came in. The workforce is made up of predominantly about 80% African-American workers with a variety of different, issues and skill sets, et cetera, of the workforce being there. But they all came in the hopes that they would find good, safe, living wage jobs. After a year and a half when many of the commitments were not met, and lived up to, a lot of the workers went and spoke to Kumho management. Now, Kumho management, when they created this factory, brought in a lot of Korean workers to install the machinery, to do some of the first run, to make sure that the equipment is maintained. So there are still to this day many Korean workers, but when it opened, a lot more Korean workers in here. So there are interpreters coming in there, and then all of the Korean management, including the plant manager, are still Korean nationals, and they have interpreters in the facility. So communication always was and to this day continues to be an issue. I wouldn't say a barrier because it's, they have interpreters in there, but certainly an issue. Also, so when they moved in there, again, all these commitments were made. When the Kumho workers went to speak to the Korean management about why they weren't able to live up to the commitments that they had made initially when they hired these workers, a lot of excuses were given. So the workers understood that. They understood and said, look, it's a new facility. We get it. This isn't just about money, but it's about how decisions are made. So workers This is not an uncommon story. Workers who were there from the very beginning, were promised a certain wage, but a year and a half later, new workers coming in after them were hired off the streets making more money. Health and safety conditions within certain parts of the facility dealing with chemicals, while they were told they would get training and proper equipment, still none of that equipment, promised equipment, ever came.
I understand through. Some of the equipment was locked up and they couldn't have access to it. Is that right?
Right. And so so this is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week facility. And the person who has the key to some of the gloves and other safety equipment was a day shift worker and would leave at 5. If you didn't get there in time to get your equipment, then you didn't get the equipment that you needed, safety equipment that you needed.
Wow.
There were stories that we heard with people who were dealing with chemicals that they didn't know what chemicals they were dealing with, and that they were isolated and you know, all sorts of potential hazards could happen. They had received, you know, skin exposure, skin irritations due to lack of proper gloves, et cetera, and that they had informed the company of all of this and nothing was done about it.
Now, Maria, so these workers, in the face of management here, they decided they wanted to, they wanted to consider a union, and a great number of them signed cards, right? But then following that, there's this huge campaign against them.
Right, Nathan. So we had over 80% support. And for those who don't understand, I think most of your audience probably does, right? Signing support means that it's signing union authorization cards, which cite that they wish to be represented by the United Steelworkers. We use those cards to petition for an election with the National Labor Relations Board. We had, again, over 80% support. The minute that we filed petition, the company went on, instead of addressing and dealing with the issues that the workers had wanted addressed, they instead chose to spend all of their resources and money on hiring union busters and attorneys. So you've got a union busting law company, legal company coming in, legal firm coming in, and in turn they also hired LRI, Labor Research Institute, and they are notorious union busters. Up to seven union busters were on the ground. They had mandatory captive audience meetings for workers that were 2 to 3 hours long every day, every shift. Then they had busters and local management supervisors, line supervisors, go and have one-on-one conversations that would last between half an hour and an hour, every shift, every worker, every day. So when I use the term psychological warfare, that is what I'm saying. They threatened the closure of the plants. They threatened terminations. They threatened loss of business. And when you hear that 3 to 4 hours every day you're on shift for 3 weeks, psychologically, you begin to believe it. And that's what they did.
Well, particularly, it sounds like this community, you know, these workers, they saw this as a wonderful opportunity for themselves and their families to make a living. And they, in a community that may have been struggling, or they were struggling personally with getting employment, and they were terrified about risking the opportunity, and these employers, Kumho, was taking advantage of their fears.
Absolutely. This was an extremely vulnerable population of workers, and the management and the company knew it. And no matter how many times we said, this company has invested $500 million into this plant, they are not shutting down, who are you going to believe? Your employer, who's telling you this 3 to 4 hours every day, every shift, or, you know, us, me?
And the wages, too, we're talking about here. You mentioned they promised high-paying jobs. They may be better than some, but not as good as they could be in terms of wages, correct?
Oh, absolutely, sir. What we're talking about here, Nathan, is that we represent the tire industry, the United Steelworkers. We represent, Goodyear, Cooper Tire, Bridgestone, Firestone. So we have a lot of union members in the tire industry. So we know what the job market and what it entails to make a tire, and certainly what a good sustaining job should be paid, that should be paid to tire makers. It's a hard industry to work in.
So we don't have much time left, but just to kind of sum up the result, though, of all this campaign, unfortunately, was that these workers were intimidated to out of forming a union.
Right. We lost by a handful of votes, and absolutely these workers were intimidated, threatened, and coerced out of supporting the union, which they so desperately need. We intend to and have filed unfair labor practice charges and objections to the results of the election with the labor board, and we anticipate staying there and supporting the Kuma workers.
And last thing here, in the bigger scale, too, I understand that this company, Kumho, they're unionized back in Korea, right?
Oh, yes. We had a great deal of support from the Kumho tire workers in Korea, their union there. And those workers are still reaching out to us and offering letters of solidarity and would like to continue to work with us here.
Well, that's a little bit of good news at the end of this story. I'm glad to hear that. And I hope that that continues and that will help push Kumho in the right direction. Or, you know, the NLRB will force them in the right direction, one or the other.
Well, Maria, we're going to have to bring you back as things move forward to get updates and to hear about the struggle of these workers down there. Thank you so much for bringing us the details of the story from on the ground down there in Macon, Georgia.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So that was Maria Soma with the United Steelworkers here with us today on the Union Edge. This is Nathan Ruggles here sitting in for Brittany with Angela Bachman. And thanks for joining us here on the Union Edge.